Welcome, Sarah. She's going to come and talk to us and teach us this morning. Continuing our theme of doing the stuff, Sarah's one of our leaders. Most importantly, she follows Jesus, and she's married to Mike, mother of Ethan, and generally a communicator I'd love to listen to. So that's, I'm looking forward to this. No pressure. It's great. It's going to be good. Right, so let's pray. For what we're about to receive, Lord, make us truly thankful. Amen. Amen.
Thanks. Good morning. So, when I was younger, people used to be quite mean to me about my hair colour. Do you know, I thought I might get a little bit more sympathy, so should we try that again? When I was younger, people used to be quite mean to me about my hair colour. Thank you. The way I dealt with it was by following some simple advice. Just ignore them. Pretend they're not there. Walk away. Then hopefully they'll get bored and bother somebody else. Problem fixed. Looking back on that now, though, I wonder if that's the best response. Is it okay to not bother to do anything? When people hurt us, it's often because they're hurting or they're broken themselves. Perhaps a better response would have been love and compassion, rather than apathy. I wonder what you think. With that in mind, let's look at Matthew 9, 35 to 38. It's on the screen, or you can find it in your Bibles. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." In this passage, Jesus provides us with a model of how we can engage with the world around us, a solution to apathy. First, Jesus saw the crowd. Looking at verse 35, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Jesus opened his eyes to what was going on around him. He didn't turn a blind eye. He didn't turn a blind eye to those who were hurting. He didn't pretend they weren't there. He made himself aware of their needs, and he paid attention. In fact, he took deliberate steps to put himself in situations where he would come across people. There are times in the stories of Jesus where Jesus does seek solitude and rest, but most of the time we see him spending his time with a variety of people who he came across suffering from pain, anger, illness, bereavement, and so on. He makes a choice to put himself in those situations. So it made me think a little bit further, which can be a bit dangerous. Is seeing the crowd like Jesus did a choice? Do we sometimes make a conscious choice to remove ourselves from other people so we don't have to deal with their stuff? For some of us, being with other people comes naturally, and for others it doesn't. But I don't think it's a personality thing. There are many different ways we connect with others, in large groups and small ones. Whether you're an extrovert like me or an introvert, that's not the point. The point is, the first step to compassion is to put ourselves near other people and get to know them. For me, I find I can connect with people through common interests, like with other mums at toddler groups. When I had my son Ethan, this gorgeous little boy, little ginger boy, I should add, on this slide, it created new opportunities to make new friends and meet more people who don't know Jesus yet. The early stages of having a baby can be really challenging, and I could have chosen just to stay at home and not to bother. But by getting out, I had new opportunities to share my faith and be who Jesus calls me to be. So I wonder where in your lives you come across people who don't know Jesus. who could you get to know? Jesus calls us to get out of our comfort zones so we can look directly at the brokenness in our world. He wants us to see the harassed, the helpless, the broken, and the oppressed. Jesus spent most of his time with these people. Can we challenge ourselves to do the same? Secondly, Jesus felt compassion. He had compassion on them. Look at verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus didn't isolate himself from their pain and their suffering. He lowered his guard and he made himself emotionally vulnerable. He did not suppress the emotions that were stirred up. These emotions went right into the heart of Jesus. Jesus took their pain and their suffering upon himself, taking it away from them and making it his own. Feeling compassion isn't some kind of lovey-dovey feeling or having pity on someone. Compassion goes straight into the heart. We have empathy with the brokenness of another person. Now, many of us can feel this very deep down as a gut-wrenching feeling. The Greek translation for this word literally means gutted. So Jesus' response is a real deep response, a physical response. Sometimes for us, it just gets too much, and we choose not to engage. We come across something in the world around us that we just don't want to engage with. You could say those who choose apathy are choosing to be emotionally absent, and those who choose compassion are choosing to become emotionally vulnerable. Now, I've shared this story before about a time that I went to Tesco's and saw a man who had hurt his wrist, and he was someone who worked at Tesco's, and he had his wrist in a support. And every time I went back, he still had his wrist in a support. And I'd felt that God had prompted me to pray for this guy. I shared how I ignored God's prompting and I came up with many excuses. Did I feel compassion? Yes. Did I choose to show compassion? Not this time. Think of the way that Jesus responds to the people around him in the Bible. Sometimes he weeps. Sometimes he gets angry. Sometimes he rebukes people. Sometimes he was moved with compassion. And sometimes he was deeply distressed. But he never chose not to be bothered. Thirdly, Jesus took action. He taught in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healed every disease and sickness. Jesus' compassion propelled him into his ministry. His emotional investment could not allow him to neglect the harassed, the helpless, the broken, and the oppressed. Their pain became his pain, so he set about doing something about that. He restored them physically, emotionally, and spiritually. This passage is packed with examples of how Jesus took action. So let's look again at this passage. Jesus went through all the towns and the villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. But when he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He then said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his field." The Bible is full of examples of Jesus taking action. He gave blind people the ability to see. He cured people from terrible diseases. He healed the paralyzed, organized a massive picnic where the crowds were hungry. He even raised people from the dead. There are so many more examples, but my point is, that Jesus didn't just ignore the problem. He took action. Now, the kind of action Jesus took may seem like a very high bar. It might seem unattainable for us today. But some kind of action, even if it's just a small step, and even if we don't really feel like it, can make a massive difference. Now, I have missed many opportunities to take action. I'm very good at coming up with excuses, and I can justify my actions. He'll be okay. Someone else can go and help him. She looks pretty sad. She probably doesn't want me to bother her. I'm in a bit of a rush. If I had more time, I'm only Sarah Bide. I'm not... dot, dot, dot. If you were saying that, I wonder who you might put where I put the dot, dot, dots. This series of talks have really inspired me and challenged me to do something. I've been using 40 Acts from Stewardship. This is an online resource for Lent with lots of ideas of small steps that you can do to live generously. Stewardship is a Christian financial organisation and they focus on generosity and giving back. I find it interesting that to undertake these tasks that they set, the challenge is not usually a financial one, but it's a people one. We can usually afford their ideas, they're not that expensive, but investing time and taking risks with people is much more challenging. One of the ideas in the 40 Acts was a generosity bucket to store things up that you could give out to people. I didn't get as far as buying a bucket, but I did decide to take action. My plan was to pick up a few things that I needed at the shop and then get an extra item that I could give away. Now, my problem was I only had £11.52 in my wallet. And I had quite a long shopping list, including the item that I wanted to give away. I also needed some money left over because I wanted to go to Cafe Nero, as I decided I wanted to go there and see what God was saying, see what God was doing. So, with £11.52, I was thinking, this is not possible. And I had a conversation with God. My real concern was my expensive taste in face swipes. I've got sensitive skin, so it's quite important that I get the ones that I need. Okay, God, they're going to have to be half price for me to do this. I continued with my shopping. I found most things on offer at a reasonable price, and guess what? My face wipes were half price. I also found some lovely flowers, and I decided to give them away. And even better, in Cafe Nero, I had left the exact amount for my drink. I sat. I waited. I tried really hard to listen to what God was saying. But I didn't hear anything. I was thinking, surely there is someone that is hurting that needs to be encouraged. But nothing. By the time I'd finished my drink, I didn't really feel like that God had pointed anyone out to me. And I still hadn't given my flowers away. Luckily, Ethan, my 19-month-old son, was there to encourage me. He told me I had to give them to a lady. And I felt compelled to give these flowers to someone standing at a cash machine. So I hung about nearby. Luckily, there was no police around. But I actually couldn't find anybody. Then suddenly, someone appeared. So I went for it. I explained that today was the first day of Lent, and instead of giving something up, I was doing something called the 40 Acts of Generosity. I said to her, I'd like to bless you with these flowers and tell you that God loves you. She seemed really surprised. She seemed really happy, and she didn't really know what to say or what to do. Now, I also decided to right a wrong. I went back to Tesco's, and I went to find this man. Beforehand, I said to God, if you want me to pray for him, let him be at work today and put him somewhere where he is available, preferably on his own, so I can do this. So I'm there. I felt really nervous. I had Ethan with me. I was looking up every aisle, back and forth, seeking out this guy. I walked around Tesco's twice, but I couldn't find him. So what did I take away from this experience? God was with me. I was obedient. I felt disappointed that nothing had happened in Cafe Nero and that this guy at Tesco's wasn't there. But I felt really good that I had taken an opportunity and that I had let God lead a game. Now you might be saying to yourself, no, you don't understand. I'm not being called to do these things, these crazy things that Jesus did in the Bible. Well, Jesus calls all of us, no matter who we are, no matter how we're feeling. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. So will you join in? Now, buying someone flowers was a really small action to take. It's a much lower risk than praying for healing, rebuking someone, or any of those other things that Jesus did. I'm sure when Robbie Dawkins comes, he will be encouraging us to do all sorts of things that might be in and out of our comfort zones. But the things we are talking about are all part of God's mission. For me, this small action of giving someone flowers helped me connect back with God. I let him lead again, and I was a willing participant. So how can we begin to take these steps of seeing the crowd, feeling compassion, and acting in response? I'm always learning that the more time we spend with God, the more we want to do what he does. We can't force compassion, but if we become more like Jesus, then his compassionate heart will just take over. Now, we still need to make a choice. And will we choose to be like Jesus, no matter how we are feeling, no matter who we compare ourselves to, and no matter the response or the outcome? If you're sat there and you feel like my relationship maybe isn't right with God at the moment, and perhaps that might be affecting your compassion for others or your willingness to act, then what can we do about this? I've got four simple suggestions. Acknowledge what's gotten in the way. Acknowledge what's gotten in the way of that relationship with God. And maybe it's time to repent, to say sorry. Trust God again. Let him into every aspect of your life. Spend time with him, but don't put pressure on yourself. Just do what comes naturally. As your relationship with God evolves, so will your devotional time. Let God lead again. Give him control. Let him direct you. Spend time just listening. And serve God again. Make it about him, not us. One of the books we have been referring to in this series is called Do What Jesus Did by Robbie Dawkins. And you can get this book from Vineyard Records if you're interested. In this book, something that I found really encouraging was where Robbie Dawkins says this. The thing is to press in. Keep pressing in and pressing up. Keep seeking his presence. Seek his presence when no one's watching. Let it infect every part of who you are in the character choices you make. The joy is there, the unbelievable privilege of being friends with such a cool God and being someone who shares his secrets with. It honours him so much when we keep pressing into the things of God. If we can spend more time in God's presence, it will really help us with this stuff. Jesus gives us a simple model to help us. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." So to conclude, Jesus opened his eyes to the people around him. He didn't cross over to the other side of the street when he saw someone in need. He didn't pretend to look the other way and avoid that uncomfortable conversation. He confronted the harsh realities of life head on. Jesus shared in their pain with a gut-wrenching sympathy. He gave himself permission to become emotionally vulnerable. He didn't subscribe to the don't ask, don't tell policy. Their pain became his pain. Jesus took action. He didn't say, "That's not my problem," and pass it on to somebody else. Jesus wasn't looking from the sideline. He was out there in the playing field, playing hard, staying focused, getting bruised, and ultimately defeating the opposing team. I believe that the love and compassion of Jesus Christ will turn the world upside down. Do you want to be a part of that? Now is the time to be obedient to God's prompting. Like for me, no more excuses, no more coasting, no more lukewarm. Let's see the crowd. Let's be compassionate. And let's take action. Mike, do you want to come up and help? Did you want to say something first?
So I think there's a couple of specific challenges that Sarah's brought us, which we will come to. But I think the starting point is with God's presence. And Sarah shared that quote from Robbie Dawkins about how getting into his presence is the starting point. So shall we do that? Shall we stand? We believe God is present all the time, but there's something special about paying attention to him. So I'm just going to invite God to come. Holy Spirit, come. Lord, we welcome you. We want to pay attention to what you're saying to us this morning. We invite your presence, Lord.
I'd love you to encourage us that when we're seeking God's presence and just asking him to come, that we would make ourselves available for him to do that. So if you feel free and willing to just put your hands out in front of you as an act of just allowing God just to come and fill you. So God, we just ask for more of you. We thank you for what you're doing, and we just ask for more. Would you fill us afresh? Would you continue just to speak to us about the words that's been shared this morning and challenge us, Lord? Because it's all about you, it's not about us. So come. And I just get a sense of fear. So, Father God, we just ask that fear would just go in the name of Jesus, that we would feel free to be who we are in you.
So specifically, I think the slide with the stepping stones, I think Sarah chose that to sort of demonstrate just taking a step. But I felt looking at that picture that some people, you know, I think the idea is you don't have to jump into the river, you can just take a step. But for some people, even just that step felt scary. So if that's you, we'd love to pray for you. If anyone else feels that God is speaking, now is your chance.
I just had this picture when we were worshipping, actually, of, you know, geese, when they take off, they sort of like run for a bit and then they fly. I didn't know what that meant, so I was just sort of like waiting and sitting on it. And then just now when we were praying, I felt the Lord say that sometimes these things, we feel like we should cross the road, or we ought to cross the road, or we should notice people. And I felt the Lord remind me of that picture, and it's about freedom and just about having just almost like taking off and having joy in blessing other people, not as a, you know, a tight thing in your stomach of you should or you ought or you, yeah, you really should be a this, that and the other. So if that's you, it'd be great to pray for you to just set you free from the shoulds and the oughts.
So if you feel like that God is saying something and you'd really want someone to pray for you, I just encourage you to look around and see who might be engaging. And just if you're in a house group, just go and pray for them. We're not into giving advice. We're just asking what God wants to do. So we just ask God just to bless what he's doing. So feel free to go and pray for people. If not, we are finished officially for this morning. So if you have children, please go and collect them. Thank you very much for visiting the Vineyard, and we'll see you next week.